If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
The Ballad of the White Horse, Book 5. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Read by Joshua Christensen, October 2007. The Ballad of the White Horse by G.K. Chesterton. Book 5. Ithandune, The First Stroke. King Guthrum was a dread king, like death out of the north. Shrines without name or number he rent and rolled his lumber. From Chester to the Humber he drove his foemen forth. The Roman villas heard him in the valley of the Thames, come over the hills roaring above their roofs, and pouring on spire and stair and flooring, brimstone and pitch and flames. Sheer o'er the great chalk uplands, and the hill of the Horse went he, till high on Hampshire beacons he saw the southern sea. High on the heights of Wessex he saw the southern brine, and turned him to a conquered land, and where the northern thornwoods stand, and the road parts on either hand, there came to him a sign. King Guthrum was a war chief, a wise man in the field, and though he prospered well and knew how Alfred's folk were sad and few, not less with weighty care he drew long lines for pike and shield. King Guthrum lay on the upper land, on a single road at gaze, and his foe must come with lean array up the left arm of the cloven way to the meeting of the ways. And long ere the noise of armour, an hour ere the break of light, the woods awoke with crash and cry, and the birds sprang clamouring harsh and high, and the rabbits ran like an elves' army ere Alfred came in sight. The live wood came at Guthrum, on foot and claw and wing. The nests were noisy overhead, for Alfred and the Star of Red, all life went forth, and the forest fled before the face of the king. But halted in the woodways, Christ's few were grim and grey, and each with a small far bird-like sight saw the high folly of the fight, and though strange joys had grown in the night, despair grew with the day. And when white dawn crawled through the wood, like cold foam of a flood, then weakened every warrior's mood, in hope, though not in hardihood, and each man sorrowed as he stood, in the fashion of his blood. For the Saxon Franklin sorrowed, for the things that had been fair, for the dear dead woman, crimson-clad, and the great feasts and the friends he had, but the Celtic prince's soul was sad for the things that never were. In the eyes Italian all things but a black laughter died, and Alfred flung his shield to earth, and smote his breast, and cried, I wronged a man to his slaying, and a woman to her shame, and once I looked on a sworn maid that was wed to the holy name, and once I took my neighbour's wife that was bound to an Eastland man, in the starkness of my evil youth, before my griefs began. People, if you have any prayers, say prayers for me, and lay me under a Christian stone in that lost land I thought my own, to wait till the holy horn is blown and all poor men are free. Then Eldred of the idle farm leaned on his ancient sword, as fell his heavy words and few, and his eyes were of such alien blue as gleams where the Northman saileth new into an unknown fjord. I was a fool and wasted ale. My slaves found it sweet. I was a fool and wasted bread, and the birds had bread to eat. The kings go up and the kings go down, and who knows who shall rule? Next night a king may starve or sleep, but men and birds and beasts shall weep at the burial of a fool. O drunkards in my cellar, boys in my apple tree, the world grows stern and strange and new, and wise men shall govern you, and you shall weep for me. But yoke me my own oxen down to my own farm. My own dog will whine for me, my own friends will bend the knee, and the foes I slew openly have never wished me harm. And all were moved a little, but Colan stood apart, having first pity and after, hearing like rat in rafter, that little worm of laughter that eats the Irish heart. And his grey-green eyes were cruel, and the smile of his mouth waxed hard, and he said, "And when did Britain become your burying yard? Before the Romans lit the land, when schools and monks were none, we reared such stones to the sun-god as might put out the sun. The tall trees of Britain we worshipped, and were wise, but you shall raid the whole land through, and never a tree shall talk to you, though every leaf is a tongue taught true, and the forest is full of eyes. On one round hill to the seaward, the trees grow tall and grey, and the trees talk together, when all men are away. Or a few round hills forgotten, the trees grow tall in rings, and the trees talk together of many pagan things. Yet I could lie and listen, with a cross upon my clay, and hear unhurt forever what the trees of Britain say." A proud man was the Roman, his speech a single one, but his eyes were like an eagle's eyes that is staring at the sun. "Dig for me where I die," he said, "if first or last I fall, dead on the fell at the first charge, or dead by wantage wall. Lift not my head from bloody ground, bear not my body home, for all the earth is Roman earth, and I shall die in Rome." Then Alfred, king of England, bade blow the horns of war, and fling the golden dragon out, with crackle and acclaim and shout, scrolled in a flame and far. And under the golden dragon went Wessex all along, past the sharp point of the cloven ways, out from the black wood into the blaze of sun and steel and song. And when they came to the open land, they wheeled, deployed, and stood. Midmost were Marcus and the king, and Eldred on the right-hand wing, and leftwards Colan darkling in the last shade of the wood. But the earls of the great army lay like a long half-moon, 10 poles before their palisades, with wide-winged helms and runic blades, red giants of an age of raids in the thornland of Ethandune. Midmost the saddles rose and swayed, and a stir of horses' manes, where Guthrum and a few rode high on horses seized in victory, but Ogier went on foot to die in the old way of the Danes. Far to the king's left, Elf the Bard led on the eastern wing, with songs and spells that change the blood, and on the king's right Harold stood, the kinsman of the king. Young Harold, coarse, with colours gay, smoking with oil and musk, and the pleasant violence of the young, pushed through his people, giving tongue, forwards where, grey as cobwebs hung, the banners of the Usk. But as he came before his line a little space along, his beardless face broke into mirth, and he cried, "What broken bits of earth are here? For what their clothes are worth, I would sell them for a song." For Colan was hung with raiment, tattered like autumn leaves, and his men were all as thin as saints, and all as poor as thieves. No bows, nor slings, nor bolts they bore, but bills and pikes ill-made, and none but Colan bore a sword, and rusty was its blade. And Colan's eyes with mystery and iron laughter stirred, and he spoke aloud, but lightly, not labouring to be heard. "Oh, truly we be broken hearts, for that cause, it is said, we light our candles to that lord that broke himself for bread. But though we hold but bitterly what land the Saxon leaves, though Ireland be but a land of saints, and Wales a land of thieves, I say you yet shall weary of the working of your sword, that stricken spirits never strike, nor lean hands hold a sword. And if ever you ride in Ireland, the jest may yet be said, there is the land of broken hearts and the land of broken heads." Not less barbarian laughter choked Harold like a flood. And shall I fight with scarecrows that am of Guthrum's blood? Meeting may be of warmen, where the best warman wins, but all this carrion a man shoots before the fight begins. And stopping in his onward strides, he snatched a bow in scorn from some mean slave, and bent it on Colan, whose doom grew dark and shone stars evil over Caerleon in the place where he was born. For Colan had not bow nor sling, on a lonely sword leaned he, like Arthur on Excalibur in the battle by the sea. To his great gold earring Harold tugged back the feathered tail, and swift had sprung the arrow, but swifter sprang the gale. Whirling the one sword round his head, a great wheel in the sun, he sent it splendid through the sky, flying before the shaft could fly. It smote Earl Harold over the eye, and blood began to run. Colan stood bare and weaponless. Earl Harold, as in pain, strove for a smile, put hand to head, stumbled, and suddenly fell dead, and the small white daisies all waxed red with blood out of his brain. And all at that marvel of the sword, cast like a stone to slay, cried out, said Alfred, "Who would see signs must give all things, verily, man shall not taste of victory till he throws his sword away." Then Alfred, Prince of England, and all the Christian earls, unhooked their swords and held them up, each offered to Colan like a cup of chrysolite and pearls. And the king said, "Do thou take my sword, who have done this deed of fire. For this is the manner of Christian men, whether of steel or priestly pen, that they cast their hearts out of their ken to get their heart's desire. And whether ye swear a hive of monks, or one fair wife to friend, this is the manner of Christian men, that their oath endures the end. For love, our Lord, at the end of the world, sits a red horse like a throne, with a brazen helm and an iron bow, but one arrow alone. Love, with the shield of the broken heart, ever his bow doth bend, with a single shaft for a single prize, and the ultimate bolt that parts and flies comes with a thunder of split skies and a sound of souls that rend. So shall you earn a king's sword who cast your sword away." And the king took, with a random eye, a rude axe from a hind hard by, and turned him to the fray. For the swords of the earls of Daneland flamed round the fallen lord. The first blood woke the trumpet tune, as in monk's rhyme or wizard's rune, beginneth the battle of Ethandune with the throwing of the sword. End of Book 5. The Ballad of the White Horse, Book 6. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Read by Joshua Christensen, November 2007. The Ballad of the White Horse by G.K. Chesterton, Book 6. Ethandune, the Slaying of the Chiefs. As the sea flooding the flat sands flew on the sea-borne horde, the two hosts shocked with dust and din, left of the Latian paladin, clanged all Prince Harold's howling kin on Colan and the sword. Crashed in the midst of Marcus, Ogier with Guthrum by, and eastward of such central stir, far to the right and faintlier, the house of Elf the harp-player struck Eldred's with a cry. The centre swat for weariness, stemming the screaming horde, and wearily went Colan's hands that swung King Alfred's sword. But like a cloud of morning, to eastward easily, tall Eldred broke the sea of spears as a tall ship breaks the sea. His face like a sanguine sunset, his shoulder a Wessex down, his hands like a windy hammer stroke, men could not count the crests he broke, so fast the crests went down. As the tall white devil of the plague moves out of Asian skies, with his foot on a waste of cities, and his head in a cloud of flies, or purple and peacock skies grow dark with a moving locust tower, or tawny sand winds tall and dry, like hell's red banners beat and fly, when death comes out of Araby, was Eldred in his hour. But while he moved like a massacre, he murmured as in sleep, and his words were all of low hedges and little fields and sheep. Even as he strode like a pestilence that strides from Rhine to Rome, he thought how tall his beans might be if ever he were home, spoke some stiff piece of childish prayer, dull as the distant chimes, that thanked our God for good eating and corn and quiet times, till on the helm of a high chief fell shatteringly his brand, and the helm broke and the bone broke and the sword broke in his hand. Then from the yelling Northmen, driven splintering on him ran, full 7 spears, and the 7th was never made by man. 7 spears, and the 7th was wrought as the fairy blades, and given to Elf the minstrel by the monstrous water-maids. By them that dwell where luridly lost waters of the Rhine move among roots of nations, being sunken for a sign. Under all graves they murmur and rebel, down to the buried kingdoms creep, and like a lost rain roar and weep o'er the red heavens of hell. Thrice drowned was Elf the minstrel, and washed as dead on sand, and the 3rd time men found him, the spear was in his hand. 7 spears went about Eldred, like stays about a mast, but there was a sorrow by the sea for the driving of the last. 6 spears thrust upon Eldred were splintered when he laughed, 1 spear thrust into Eldred, 3 feet of blade and shaft. And from the great heart grievously came forth the shaft and blade, and he stood with the face of a dead man, stood a little and swayed, then fell, as falls a battle tower, on smashed and struggling spears, cast down from some unconquered town that rushing earthward carries down loads of live men of all renown, archers and engineers. And a great clamour of Christian men went up in agony, crying, "Fallen is the tower of Wessex that stood beside the sea." Centre and right the Wessex guard grew pale for doubt and fear, and the flank failed at the advance, for the death-light on the wizard lance, the star of the evil spear. "Stand like an oak," cried Marcus, "stand like a Roman wall. Eldred the good is fallen. Are you too good to fall? When we were wan and bloodless, he gave you ale and oh. The pirates deal with him as dung. God, are you bloodless now? Grip, Wulf and Gorlias, grip the ash, slaves, and I make you free. Stamp, Hildred Hard, in English land, stand Girth, stand Gorlias, Gawain stand. Hold, Halfgar, with the other hand, Halmer, hold up the knee. The lamps are dying in your homes, the fruits upon your bough. Even now your old thatch smoulders, Girth, now is the judgment of the earth, now is the death grip, now. For thunder of the captain, not less the Wessex line, leaned back and reeled a space to rear, as Elf charged with the Rhine-made spear, and roaring like the Rhine. For the men were borne by the waving walls of woods and clouds that pass, by dizzy plains and drifting sea, and they mixed God with glamoury, God with the gods of the burning tree and the wizard's tower in glass. But Mark was come of the glittering towns, where hot white details show, where men can number and expound, and his faith grew in a hard ground of doubt and reason and falsehood found, where no faith else could grow. Belief that grew of all beliefs one moment back was blown, and belief that stood on unbelief stood up iron and alone. The Wessex crescent backwards, crushed as with bloody spear, went Elf roaring and routing, and Mark against Elf yet shouting, shocked in his mid-career. Right on the Roman shield and sword did spear of the Rhine-maids run, but the shield shifted never, the sword rang down to sever, the great Rhine sang for ever, and the songs of Elf were done. And a great thunder of Christian men went up against the sky, saying, "God hath broken the evil spear ere the good man's blood was dry." "Spears at the charge!" yelled Mark amain. "Death on the guards of death! Over the thrones of doom and blood goeth God that is a craftsman good, and gold and iron, earth and wood, loveth and laboureth. The fruits leap up in all your farms, the lamps in each abode. God of all good things done on earth, all wheels or webs of any worth, the God that makes the roof, Girth, the God that makes the road. The God that heweth kings in oak, writeth songs on vellum, God of gold and flaming glass, confrigit potentius, Arcruum scrutum Gorlias, gladium et bellum. Steel and lightning broke about him, battle bays and palm. All the sea-kings swayed among, woods of the Wessex arms upflung, the trumpet of the Roman tongue, the thunder of the psalm. And midmost of that rolling field ran Ogier ragingly, lashing at Mark who turned his blow, and brake the helm about his brow, and broke him to his knee. Then Ogier heaved over his head his huge round shield of proof, but Mark set one foot on the shield, on one some sundered rock appealed, and towered among the tossing field a statue on a roof. Dealing far blows about the fight, like thunderbolts a-roam, like birds about the battlefield, while Ogier writhed under his shield like a tortoise in his dome. But hate in the buried Ogier was strong as pain in hell. With bare brute hand from the inside he burst the shield of brass and hide, and a death-stroke to the Roman side sent suddenly and well. Then the great statue on the shield looked his last look around, with level and imperial eye, and Mark, the man from Italy, fell in the sea of agony and died without a sound. And Ogier, leaping up alive, hurled his huge shield away, flying as when a juggler flings a whizzing plate in play, and held two arms up rigidly, and roared to all the Danes, "Fallen is Rome, yea, fallen, the city of the plains! Shall no man born remember that breaketh wood or weald, how long she stood on the roof of the world, as he stood on my shield? The new wild world forgetteth her, as foam fades on the sea, how long she stood with her foot on man, as he with his foot on me. No more shall the brown men of the south move like the ants in lines, to quiet men with olives, or madden men with vines. No more shall the white towns of the south, where Tiber and Nilus run, sitting around a secret sea, worship a secret sun. The blind gods roar for Rome fallen, and Forum and Garland gone, for the ice of the north is broken, and the sea of the north comes on. The blind gods roar and rave and dream of all cities under the sea, for the heart of the north is broken, and the blood of the north is free. Down from the dome of the world we come, rivers on rivers down. Under us swirl the sects and hordes, and the high dooms we drown. Down from the dome of the world and down, struck flying as a skiff, on the river in spate is spun and swirled, until we come to the end of the world that breaks short like a cliff. And when we come to the end of the world, for me I count it fit to take the leap like a good river, shot shrieking over it. But whatso hap at the end of the world, where nothing is struck and sounds, it is not, by Thor, these monkish men, these humbled Wessex hounds, not this pale line of Christian hinds, this one white string of men, shall keep us back from the end of the world and the things that happen then. It is not Alfred's dwarfish sword, nor Egbert's pygmy crown, shall stay us now that descend in thunder, rending the realms and realms thereunder, down through the world and down. There was that in the wild men back of him, there was that in his own wild song, a dizzy throbbing, a drunkard smoke, that dazed to death all Wessex folk, and swept their spears along. Vainly the sword of Colin and the axe of Alfred plied, the Danes poured in like a brainless plague, and knew not when they died. Prince Colin slew a score of them, and was stricken to his knee. King Alfred slew a score and seven, and was borne back on a tree, back to the black gate of the woods, back of the single way, back by the place of the parting ways, Christ's knights were whirled away. And when they came to the parting ways, doom's heaviest hammer fell, for the king was beaten, blind, at bay, down the right lane with his array, but Colin swept the other way, where he smote great strokes and fell. The thornwoods over Ethandune stand sharp and thick as spears. By night and firs and forest harms, far sundered were the friends in arms. The loud lost blows, the last alarms, came not to Alfred's ears. The thornwoods over Ethandune stand stiff as spikes in mail, as to the Haut King came at morn, dead Roland on a doubtful horn, seemed unto Alfred lightly borne, the last cry of the gale. End of Book 6. The Ballad of the White Horse, Book 7. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Read by Joshua Christensen, November 2007. The Ballad of the White Horse, by G.K. Chesterton. Book 7. Ithandune, The Last Charge. Away in the waste of White Horse Down, an idle child alone played some small game through hours that pass, and patiently would pluck the grass, patiently push the stone. On the lean green edge forever, where the blank chalk touched the turf, the child played on, alone, divine, as a child plays on the last line that sunders sand and surf. For he dwelleth in high divisions, too simple to understand, seeing on what morn of mystery the uncreated rent the sea with roarings from the land. Through the long infant hours like days he built one tower in vain, piled up small stones to make a town, and evermore the stones fell down, and he piled them up again. And crimson kings on battle towers, and saints on Gothic spires, and hermits on their peaks of snow, and heroes on their pyres, and patriots riding royally that rush the rocking town, stretch hands in hunger and aspire, seeking to mount where high and higher the child whom time can never tire sings over White Horse Down. And this was the might of Alfred at the ending of the way, that of such smiters, wise or wild, he was least distant from the child piling the stones all day. For Eldred fought like a Frank hunter that killeth and goeth home, and Mark had fought because all arms rang like the name of Rome, and Colin fought with a double mind, moody and madly gay, but Alfred fought as gravely as a good child at play. He saw wheels break and work run back, and all things as they were, and his heart was orbed like victory, and simple like despair. Therefore is Mark forgotten, that was wise with his tongue and brave, and the cairn over Colin crumbled, and the cross on Eldred's grave. Their great souls went on a wind away, and they have not tale or tomb, and Alfred, born in wantage, rules England till the doom, because in the forest of all fears, like a strange fresh gust from sea, struck him that ancient innocence that is more than mastery. And as a child whose bricks fall down repiles them o'er and o'er, came ruin and the rain that burns, returning as a wheel returns, and crouching in the firs and ferns he began his life once more. He took his ivory horn unslung, and smiled but not in scorn, endeth the battle of Ethandune with the blowing of a horn. On a dark horse at the double way he saw great Guthrum ride, heard roar of brass and ring of steel, the laughter and the trumpet peal, the pagan in his pride, and Ogier's red and hated head moved in some talk or task, but the men seemed scattered in the briar, and some of them had lit a fire, and one had broached a cask, and wagons one or two stood up, like tall ships in sight, as if an outpost were encamped at the cloven ways for night. And joyous of the sudden stay of Alfred's routed few, sat one upon a stone to sigh, and some slipped up the road to fly, till Alfred in the fern hard by set horn to mouth and blew. And they all abode like statues, one sitting on the stone, one halfway through the thorn hedge tall, one with a leg across a wall, and one looked backwards very small, far up the road alone. Grey twilight and a yellow star hung over thorn and hill, two spears and a cloven war-shield lay, loose on the road as cast away, the horn died faint in the forest grey, and the fleeing men stood still. "Brothers at arms," said Alfred, "on this side lies the foe. Are slavery and starvation flowers that you should pluck them so? For whether is it better, to be prodded with Danish poles, having hewn a chamber in a ditch, and hounded like a howling witch, or smoked to death in holes? Or that before the red cock crow, all we, a thousand strong, go down the dark road to God's house, singing a Wessex song? To sweat a slave to a race of slaves, to drink up infamy? No, brothers, by your leave I think death is a better ale to drink, and by all the stars of Christ that sink, the Danes shall drink with me. To grow old cowed in a conquered land, with the sun itself discrowned, to see trees crouch and cattle slink, death is a better ale to drink, and by high death on the fell brink that flagon shall go round. Though dead are all the paladins whom glory had in ken, though all your thunder-sworded thanes with proud hearts died among the Danes, while a man remains, great war remains, now is a war of men. The men that tear the furrows, the men that fell the trees, when all their lords be lost and dead, the bondsmen of the earth shall tread the tyrants of the seas. The wheels of the roaring stillness of all labours under the sun speed the wild work as well, at least, as the whole world's work is done. Let Hildred hack the shield-wall, clean as he hacks the hedge. Let Gurth the fowler stand as cool as he stands on the chasm's edge. Let Gorlias ride the sea-kings as Gorlias rides the sea. Then let all hell and Denmark drive, yelling to all its fiends alive, and not a rag care we. When Alfred's word was ended, stood firm that feeble line, each in his place with club or spear, and fury deeper than deep fear, and smiles as sour as brine. And the king held up the horn and said, "See ye my father's horn, that Egbert blew in his empery, once when he rode out commonly, twice when he rode for venery, and thrice on the battle morn. But heavier fates have fallen the horn of the Wessex kings, and I blew once the riding sign to call you to the fighting line and glory and all good things. And now two blasts the hunting sign because we turn to bay, but I will not blow the three blasts till we be lost or they. And now I blow the hunting sign, charge some by rule and rod, but when I blow the battle sign, charge all and go to God." Wild stared the Danes at the double ways, where they loitered all at large, as that dark line for the last time doubled the knee to charge, and caught their weapons clumsily, and marvelled how and why, in such degree, by rule and rod, the people of the peace of God went roaring down to die. And when the last arrow was fitted and was flown, when the broken shield hung on the breast, and the hopeless lance was laid in rest, and the hopeless horn blown, the king looked up, and what he saw was a great light like death, for Our Lady stood on the standards rent, as lonely and as innocent as when between white walls she went and the lilies of Nazareth. One instant in a still light he saw Our Lady then, her dress was soft as western sky, and she was a queen most womanly, but she was a queen of men. Over the iron forest he saw Our Lady stand, her eyes were sad without an art, and seven swords were in her heart, but one was in her hand. Then the last charge went blindly, and all too lost for fear. The Danes closed round a roaring ring, and 20 clubs rose o'er the king. 4 Danes hewed at him, hallowing, and Ogier of the stone and sling drove at him with a spear. But the Danes were wild with laughter, and the great spear swung wide. The point stuck to a straggling tree, and either host cried suddenly as Alfred leapt aside. Short time had shaggy Ogier to pull his lance in line. He knew King Alfred's axe on high, he heard it rushing through the sky. He cowered beneath it with a cry, it split him to the spine, and Alfred sprang over him dead and blew the battle sign. Then bursting all and blasting came Christendom like death. Kicked of such catapults of will, the staves shiver, the barrels spill, the wagons waver and crash and kill the wagoners beneath. Barriers go backwards, banners rend, great shields groan like a gong, horses like horns of nightmare neigh horribly and long. Horses ramp high and rock and boil and break their golden reins, and slide on carnage clamorously, down where the bitter blood doth lie, where Ogier went on foot to die, in the old way of the Danes. "The high tide," King Alfred cried, "the high tide and the turn, as a tide turns on the tall grey seas, see how they waver in the trees, how stray their spears, how knock their knees, how wild their watchfires burn. The Mother of God goes over them, walking on wind and flame, and the storm cloud drifts from city and dale, and the white horse stamps in the white horse vale, and we all shall yet drink Christian ale in the village of our name. The Mother of God goes over them, on dreadful cherubs borne, and the psalm is roaring above the rune, and the cross goes over the sun and moon. Endeth the battle of Ethandune with the blowing of a horn. For back indeed, disorderly, the Danes went clamouring, too worn to take anew the tale, or dazed with insolence and ale, or stunned of heaven, or stricken pale before the face of the king. For dire was Alfred in his hour, the pale scribe witnesseth, more mighty in defeat was he than all men else in victory, and behind his men came murderously, dry-throated, drinking death. And Edgar of the golden ship he slew with his own hand, took Ludwig from his lady's bower, and smote down Harmar in his hour, and vain and lowly stood the tower in Gilderland, and tore out of his tiny boat, whose eyes beheld the Nile, Wolf with his war-cry on his lips, and Harco born in the eclipse, who blocked the scene with battleships round Paris on the isle, and Hakon of the harvest song, and Dirk from the Elbe he slew, and Knut the melted Durham bell, and Fulk and fiery Oscar fell, and Goderic and Sigael, and Uriel of the Yew, and highest sang the slaughter, and fastest fell the slain, when from the woodroad's blackening throat a crowning and crashing wonder smote the rear-guard of the Dane. For the dregs of Colin's company, lost down the other road, had gathered and grown and heard the din, and with wild yells came pouring in, naked as their old British kin, and bright with blood for woad. And bare and bloody and aloft they bore before their band the body of the mighty lord, Colin of Caerleon and its horde, that bore King Alfred's battle-sword broken in his left hand. And a strange music went with him, loud and yet strangely far, the wild pipes of the western land, too keen for the ear to understand, sang high and deathly on each hand when the dead man went to war. Blocked between ghost and buccaneer, brave men have dropped and died, and the wild sea-lords might well quail as the ghastly war-pipes of the gale called to the horns of White Horse Vale, and all the horns replied. And Hildred, the poor hedger, cut down 4 captains dead, and Helmar laid 3 others low, and the great earls wavered to and fro for the living and the dead. And Gorlias grasped the great flag, the raven of Odin, torn, and the eyes of Guthrum altered, for the first time since morn. As a turn of the wheel of tempest tilts up the whole sky tall, and cliffs of wan clouds luminous lean out like great walls over us, as if the heavens might fall. As such a tall and tilted sky sends certain snow or light, so did the eyes of Guthrum change, and the turn was more certain and more strange than 1,000 men in flight. For not till the floor of the skies is split, and the hellfire shines through the sea, or the stars look up through the rent earth's knees, cometh such rendings of certainties, as when one wise man truly sees what is more wise than he. He set his horse in the battle-breach, even Guthrum of the Dane, and as ever had fallen, fell his brand, a falling tower o'er many a land, but Gurth the fowler laid one hand upon this bridle rein. King Guthrum was a great lord, and higher than his gods. He put the popes to laughter, he chid the saints with rods. He took this hollow world of ours for a cup to hold his wine. In the parting of the woodways, there came to him a sign. In Wessex in the forest, in the breaking of the spears, we set a sign on Guthrum to blaze 1,000 years, where the high saddles jostle and the horse-tails toss. There rose to the birds flying a roar of dead and dying. In deafness and strong crying, we signed him with the cross. Far out to the winding river, the blood ran down for days, when we put the cross on Guthrum in the parting of the ways. End of Book 7. The Ballad of the White Horse, Book 8. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, visit LibriVox.org. Read by Joshua Christensen, November 2007. The Ballad of the White Horse by G.K. Chesterton. Book 8. The Scouring of the Horse. In the years of the peace of Wessex, when the good king sat at home, years following on that bloody boon, when she that stands above the moon stood above death at Ethandune and saw his kingdom come, when the pagan people of the sea fled to their palisades, nailed there with javelins to cling, and wonder smote the pirate king, and brought him to his christening, and the end of all his raids. For not till the night's blue slate is wiped of its last star utterly, and fierce new signs writ there to read, shall eyes with such amazement heed, as when a great man knows indeed a greater thing than he. And there came to his chrism loosing, lords of all lands afar, and a line was drawn northwesterly, that gave King Egbert's empire free, giving all lands by the northern sea to the sons of the northern star. In the days of the rest of Alfred, when all these things were done, and Wessex lay in a patch of peace like a dog in a patch of sun, the king sat in his orchard among apples green and red, with a little book in his bosom and the sunshine on his head. And he gathered the songs of simple men that swing with helm and hod, and the alms he gave as a Christian, like a river alive with fishes ran, and he made gifts to a beggar man as to a wandering god. And he gat good laws of the ancient kings, like treasure out of the tombs, and many a thief in thorny nook, or noble in sea-stained turret shook, for the opening of his iron book, and the gathering of the dooms. Then men would come from the ends of the earth, whom the king sat welcoming, and men would go to the ends of the earth, because of the word of the king. For folk came in to Alfred's face, whose javelins had been hurled, on monsters that make boil the sea, kraken and coils of mystery, or thrust in ancient snows that be the white hair of the world. And some had knocked at the northern gates of the ultimate icy floor, where the fish freeze and the foam turns black, and the wide world narrows to a track, and the other sea at the world's back cries through a closed door. And men went forth from Alfred's face, even great gift-bearing lords, not to roam only, but more bold, out to the high hot courts of old, of negroes clad in cloth of gold, silence and crooked swords. Scrawled screens and secret gardens, and insect-laden skies, where fiery plains stretch on and on to the purple country of Prester John and the walls of Paradise. And he knew the might of the Terre Majeure, where kings began to reign, where in a night rout without name of gloomy Goths and Gauls there came, white above candles all aflame like a vision, Charlemagne. And men, seeing such embassies, spake with the king and said, "The steel that sang so sweet a tune on Ashdown and on Ethandune, why hangs it scabbarded so soon all heavily like lead? Why dwell the Danes in North England, and up to the river ride? Three more such marches like thine own would end them, and the Picts should own our sway, and our feet climb the throne in the mountains of Strathclyde." And Alfred in the orchard, among apples green and red, with the little book in his bosom, looked at green leaves and said, "When all philosophies shall fail, this word alone shall fit, that a sage feels too small for life, and a fool too large for it. Asia and all imperial plains are too little for a fool, but for one man whose eyes can see, the little isle of Athelney is too large a land to rule. Happily it had been better when I built my fortress there, out in the reedy waters wide, I had stood on my mud wall and cried, 'Take England all from tide to tide, be Athelney my share.' Those madmen of the throne scramble, oppressors and oppressed, had lined the banks by Athelney, and waved and wailed unceasingly, where the river turned to the broad sea by an island of the blessed. An island like a little book, full of 100 tales, like the gilt page the good monk's pen, that is all smaller than a wren, yet hath high towns, meteors, and men, and suns, and spouting whales. A land having a light on it, in the river dark and fast, an isle with utter clearness lit, because a saint had stood in it, where flowers are flowers indeed, and fit, and trees are trees at last. So were the island of a saint, but I am a common king, and I will make my fences tough, from Wantage Town to Plymouth Bluff, because I am not wise enough to rule so small a thing. And it fell in the days of Alfred, in the days of his repose, that as old customs in his sight were a straight road and a steady light, he bade them keep the white horse white as the first plume of the snows. And right to the red torchlight, from the trouble of morning grey, they stripped the white horse of the grass as they strip it to this day. And under the red torchlight he went dreaming, as though dull, of his old companions slain like kings, and the rich irrevocable things of a heart that hath not openings, but is shut fast, being full. And the torchlight touched the pale hair, where silver clouded gold, and the frame of his face was made of cords, and a young lord turned among the lords, and said, "The king is old." And even as he said it, a post ran in amain, crying, "Arm, Lord King, the hamlet's arm, in the horror and the shade of harm, they have burnt Brand of Unger's farm, the Danes are come again. Danes drive the white East Angles, in six fights on the plains, Danes waste the world about the Thames, Danes to the eastward, Danes!" And as he stumbled on one knee, the thanes broke out in ire, crying, "Ill the watchmen watch, and ill the sheriffs keep the shire." But the young earl said, "Ill the saints of England guard, the land wherein we pledge them gold, the dykes decay, the king grows old, and surely this is hard, that we be never quit of them, that when his head is hoar, he cannot say to them he smote, and spared with a hand hard at the throat, go and return no more." Then Alfred smiled, and the smile of him was like the sun for power, but he only pointed, bade them heed, those peasants of the Berkshire breed, who plucked the old horse of the weed, as they pluck it to this hour. "Will ye part with the weeds forever, or show daisies to the door? Or will you bid the bold grass go and return no more? So ceaseless and so secret thrive terror and theft set free. Treason and shame shall come to pass when one weed flowers in a morass, and like the stillness of stiff grass, the stillness of tyranny. Over our white souls also, wild heresies in high, wave prouder than the plumes of grass, and sadder than their sigh. And I go riding against the raid, and ye know not where I am, but ye shall know in a day or year, when one green star of grass grows here, chaos has charged you, charger and spear, battle-axe and battering ram. And though skies alter and empires melt, this word shall still be true. If we would have the horse of old, scour ye the horse anew. One time I followed a dancing star that seemed to sing and nod, and ring upon earth all evil's knell, but now I wot if ye score not well, red rust shall grow on God's great bell, and grass in the streets of God." Ceased Alfred, and above his head the grand green domes, the downs, showed the first legions of the press, marching in haste and bitterness for Christ's sake and the crowns. Beyond the cavern of Colan, past Eldred's by the sea, rose men that owned King Alfred's rod, from the windy wastes of Aix untrod, or where the thorn of the grave of God burns over Glastonbury. Far northward and far westward the distant tribes grew nigh, plains beyond plains, fell beyond fell, that a man at sunset sees so well, and the tiny coloured towns that dwell in the corners of the sky. But dark and thick as thronged the host, with drum and torch and blade, the still-eyed king sat pondering, as one that watches a live thing, the scoured chalk, and said, "Though I give this land to our lady, that helped me in Athelney, though lordlier trees and lustier sod, and happier hills hath no flesh trod, than the garden of the Mother of God between Thameside and the sea, I know that weed shall grow in it, faster than men can burn. And though they scatter now and go in some far century, sad and slow, I have a vision, and I know the heathen shall return. They shall not come with warships, they shall not waste with brands, but books be all their eating, and ink be on their hands. Not with the humour of hunters, or savage skill in war, but ordering all things with dead words, strings shall they make of beasts and birds, and wheels of wind and star. They shall come mild as monkish clerks, with many a scroll and pen, and backwards shall ye turn and gaze, desiring one of Alfred's days, when pagans still were men. The dear sun dwarfed of dreadful suns, like fiercer flowers on stalk, earth lost and little like a pea, in high heaven's towering forestry, these be the small weeds ye shall see, crawl covering the chalk. But though they bridge St. Mary's sea, or steal St. Michael's wing, though they rear marvels over us, greater than great Virgilius wrought for the Roman king, by this sign shall ye know them, the breaking of the sword, and man no more a free knight that loves or hates his lord. Yea, this shall be the sign of them, the sign of the dying fire, and man made like a half-wit that knows not of his sire. What though they come with scroll and pen, and grave as a shaven clerk, by this sign shall ye know them, that they ruin and make dark. By all men bond to nothing, being slaves without a lord, by one blind idiot world obeyed, too blind to be abhorred. By terror and the cruel tales of curse in bone and kin, by weird and weakness winning, accursed from the beginning, by detail of the sinning and denial of the sin. By thought a crawling ruin, by life a leaping mire, by a broken heart in the breast of the world and the end of the world's desire. By God and man dishonored, by death and life made vain, know ye the old barbarian, the barbarian come again. When is great talk of trend and tide, and wisdom and destiny? Hail that undying heathen that is sadder than the sea. In what wise men shall smite him, or the cross stand up again, or charity, or chivalry, my vision saith not, and I see no more, but now ride doubtfully to the battle of the plain. And the grass edge of the great down was cut clean as a lawn, while the levies thronged from near and far, from the warm woods of the western star, and the king went out to his last war on a tall grey horse at dawn. And news of his far-off fighting came slowly and brokenly, from the land of the East Saxons, from the sunrise and the sea, from the plains of the white sunrise and sad St. Edmund's crown, where the pools of Essex pale and gleam out beyond London town, in mighty and doubtful fragments, like faint or fabled wars, climbed the old hills of his renown, where the bald brow of White Horse Down is close to the cold stars. But away in the eastern places the wind of death walked high, and a raid was driven athwart the raid, the sky reddened and the smoke swayed, and the tall grey horse went by. The gates of the great river were breached as with a barge, the walls sank crowded, say the scribes, and high towers populous with tribes seemed leaning from the charge. Smoke like rebellious heavens rolled, curled over coloured flames, mirrored in monstrous purple dreams in the mighty pools of Thames. Loud was the war on London Wall, and loud in London gates, and loud the sea-kings in the cloud broke through their dreaming gods, and loud cried on their dreadful fates. And all the while, on White Horse Hill, the horse lay long and wan. The turf crawled, and the fungus crept, and the little sorrel, while all men slept, unwrought the work of man. With velvet finger, velvet foot, the fierce soft mosses then crept on a large white commonweal, all folk had striven to strip and peel, and the grass, like a great green witch's wheel, unwound the toils of men. And clover and silent thistle throve, and buds burst silently, with little care for the Thames Valley, or what things there might be, that away on the widening river, in the eastern plains for crown, stood up in the pale purple sky one turret of smoke like ivory, and the smoke changed and the wind went by, and the king took London town. End of Book 8. End of The Ballad of the White Horse by G. K. Chesterton.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.